Hey, it's Chris Freeland, and you're listening to the Doxology Bible Church Podcast. If you want to know more about who we are or learn to connect with us, please visit doxology.church. Most of all, we hope the following message will help you take the next step in your faith journey, whatever it is.
In Scripture, it says that Stephen looked up to heaven and he saw God, and he saw Jesus standing next to his father, looking at him. Which was confirmation that in this moment when Stephen is dying, he saw Jesus. And that was exactly what I needed to hear so that I could know that when whatever was happening to Molly, that she knew that he was with her. And that in an instant, from the moment she was alive to the moment she died, she was in the arms of Jesus. And that's what I carried with me to help quiet the fears that would come up in my mind. She wasn't alone. He was with her in that moment, and she has been with him ever since that moment.
Doxology Bible Church is proud to present EverStory, launching wherever you listen to podcasts on June 6th. EverStory is a weekly, seasonal podcast featuring Christ-centered stories of hope and transformation, told by people just like you. No chit-chat, just raw, powerful stories. Stories inspire us to connect with each other in real, tangible ways. With stories, we're able to glorify a God who relentlessly pursues us. Mark 16:15 tells us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Stories embody who we are as Christians. Without them, Paul's letters would have never been shared. Without stories, a person with Christ in their heart might never find the courage to bring the word to their neighbor. Without stories, the Great Commission never occurs. Check in with us often as we introduce stories about the way Jesus' radical love is moving in truly awesome ways. Find EverStory wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, follow Doxology Bible Church on Facebook or Instagram at Doxology Bible. Want to share your story or know someone who might? Send us an email to stories@doxology.church. Because everyone has a story.
Hey, it's Chris Freeland, and you're listening to the Doxology Bible Church Podcast. If you want to know more about who we are or learn to connect with us, please visit doxology.church. Most of all, we hope the following message will help you take the next step in your faith journey, whatever it is.
Well, hey there, Doxology. Good to see you guys. Great to see you, whether I'm seeing you or you're just seeing us and you're worshiping online with us. It's great to worship with you today. Glad you're here. Wherever you're at, go ahead and grab a Bible. Start getting it close to you and start making your way to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, page 441 in the Bibles that look like mine. And actually, if you're taking our Proverbs challenge that we handed out last week, you're reading a chapter every day. Today's the 13th. You may have already read this chapter this morning if you're taking that challenge. Proverbs chapter 13 is where we're going to start today. And we're going to go a little bit through several different passages today, but that's where we're going to start. If you weren't able to join us last week, we started a new series last week talking about how to foolproof your life. Started in the book of Proverbs. And what we said last week is whether or not you're a resolution person when it comes to the new year or a goal setting kind of person, and really, honestly, whether or not you're even a church person, it's true that all of us, in our mind's eye, have a destination that we dream of our life going and a way that we look when we get there. And the truth is, most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we haven't arrived at the destination that we dream of our life going, but we're in process, we're in progress, whether or not we've got a strategy for how to get to the place that we dream of going in the condition that we're hoping to get there someday. And that's where the book of Proverbs comes in. Last week I told you, the book of Proverbs is unique in that it doesn't give us step-by-step, turn-by-turn navigations for getting from where I am to where I'm hoping to get someday. It doesn't do that. There are other books in the Bible that kind of give us that, that give us the essentials. But what the writers of Proverbs understand is what all of us understand. We said last week, if you've ever taught somebody how to drive, that's really what Proverbs are. They're like driving lessons. And experienced drivers understand that when it comes to getting from where you're at to where you're going, you got to have more than just the essentials. The essentials matter. It matters to know where the curbs are, right? It matters to know what the speed limit is. It matters to know which side of the road you're supposed to drive on to get from where you're at to where you're going and the condition that you're hoping to arrive. What we know is it matters to have the essentials. It's just not enough. Experienced drivers know that all of us are going to encounter circumstances and situations and scenarios where knowing the essentials isn't enough to get us from where we're at to the place that we're going. You got to have wisdom. And that's what we're talking about in this series. And actually, last week I defined wisdom for you. I'll do it again in case you weren't able to be here. Here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is a God's eye perspective for navigating real life in real time. It's a God's eye perspective for navigating real life in real time. And here's where we went last week. From the writer of Proverbs' perspective, there are four kinds of people who navigate through real life. And really, from the perspective of the writer of Proverbs, before you make a decision about where to go or which way to turn, you have to make a fundamental decision about what kind of person you're going to be as you're going where you're hoping to arrive. And last week, writer of Proverbs, we said all the way throughout, defines four different kinds of people that navigate through real life in real time. We talked last week about the simple person. You remember, the simple person is the person who just doesn't know where to find wisdom. And so as a result, they've got to have some experience. And they can either have the experience themselves and deal with some of the baggage and some of the friends that come and stay with the experiences that we have, or we can seek out experience from other people if we don't want to be simple any longer. There's the simple person. There's also the foolish person. We talked about the fool last week. The book of Proverbs talks a lot about the fool. The fool's not just a person. They know where to find wisdom. They just choose not to. They choose to go a different way. And what we said about the fool is, the fool is the kind of person that has to sometimes get stuck. Sometimes the fool has to have a wreck in order to stop being a fool. Sometimes the fun of being foolish has to catch up with us to where we realize the consequences of being foolish are not nearly worth the fun we had while we were being foolish before we'll ever stop being foolish. But that's the second kind of person that navigates through life. You know what wisdom is, you just choose to do something different. Then we talked about the mocker. The mocker is the kind of person that not only do they not want to choose wisdom for themselves, they really don't want you to choose it either. That's the person that's going to ridicule you or mock you or troll you or people like you when we make wise decisions or try to make wise decisions. They're the kind of person that wants to mock that. And we said as a result of that, they alienate themselves from people that are trying to choose wisdom. And as a result of that, the only way to stop being a mocker, if you find yourself a mocker, is often a miracle. God's got to intervene because they've so distanced themselves from wise people and wise thinking that wisdom, they can't find it even if they need it. So God has to intervene in that person's life. So what we want to be is the fourth group of people. We want to be people that are wise. And as we said last week, Proverbs chapter 4 says the major trait of the person who's wise is that the wise seek wisdom. It's as simple as that. And wisdom starts with a posture that says, God is bigger than me. God sees more than me. God's more powerful than me. God knows more than me. And that's better for me than what I see for me. That's the posture of a person who starts with wisdom. It's the posture that changes our whole operating system of our heart and our life and our orientation. And so that we build and run off of what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. We'll talk more about that in a second. Okay, so but if you weren't able to be here last week, now you're caught up. And I've got you where we're all at today. And I got a question for you this morning as we take the next step in foolproofing our life. And the question is this: what do you do when it's not enough for you to be wise? What do you do when it's not enough for you to be wise? See, here's what happened for a bunch of us this last week. We were here. And you heard me talk about wisdom and decided last week you were going to walk out of here and you were going to seek wisdom. You were going to be a wise kind of person. And so you've taken the Proverbs challenge. You're reading a chapter of Proverbs every day this month. You've already done it. Maybe you didn't get every day, but you got some days. And so you're seeking wisdom. You put that stinking Build My Life song on repeat, right? And you made it your anthem for the week. Holy, there is no one like you. I'm going to build my life on your love and who you are. And you've been seeking wisdom all week. If what I told you is true, you're wise this week, and yet you still have a decision in your life that you got to make and you don't know what to do. Is that some of you? Some of you are still facing a circumstance in your life this week, and you don't know where to turn. You're fighting a battle this week, and you've been trying to be wise, and you still don't know what to do in the thing that you're called to do. If what I told you last week is true, you're living as the wise, but it doesn't feel like enough. So what gives? Well, what I told you last week was true. I just didn't tell you everything. That's why you got to show up for more than just 1 week of a series. And by the way, if you're here, you were here last week, you're here again this week, you got a little streak going in 2019. That's two in a row, right? So good for you. Keep on track. But you got to show up because I didn't tell you everything last week, even though I told you the truth last week. And that's why we have a question. See, here's the thing. Let me show you in the Proverbs. The writers of Proverbs were some of the wisest people who have ever walked the face of the planet. But over and over and over, even the writers of the Proverbs were insistent that their own personal wisdom would not be enough for them to get from the place that they're at to the place that they're going in the condition they were hoping to arrive. Let me show you a few of these. Check these out. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse 20 in Proverbs chapter 13. Look what it says. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says this: walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Do you notice that he doesn't just say walk as the wise and you'll become wise? What does he say? He says walk with the wise. And if you walk with the wise, you'll avoid suffering what? Harm. You want to avoid suffering harm, right? Let me show you another one. Flip over maybe a page to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says this: plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I'll show you one more. Flip over to Proverbs 24, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6 says this: for by wise counsel, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. Okay, those are just three passages that you see in the book of Proverbs. There are others. But think about what these authors say. All right, again, some of the wisest people who have ever walked on the face of the earth. You see what they're saying? These three verses, they say, if you're hoping or you're needing to choose the right path from the place that you're at in order to avoid harm, if you're planning to succeed in something, or to arrive in the place that you're planning to go from the place that you find yourself today, if you're hoping to achieve the thing that you're planning to do, or if you find yourself fighting a battle that you need to win because it's something that matters, you got to have more than just your own personal wisdom. You need wise people to walk with. You need advisors. You need counselors. Your own personal wisdom isn't and will never be enough. Do you see that? All right, now we know this in other areas of life, don't we? Why does Tiger Woods need a swing coach for his golf game? Why does Nolan Ryan, why did he need a pitching coach? Why does LeBron James, or why does the greatest basketball player to ever live, Michael Jordan, need a basketball coach? Because they know what you and I have to know. If we want to find the thing that we're seeking, if we want to go the place that we're going, if we want to achieve the thing that we're planning to achieve, no matter how talented we are, no matter how wise we are, no matter how smart we are or how gifted we are, we will never get where we're going or stay where we're hoping without people who can see what we can't. And let me summarize it really quickly, hopefully in a way that you can remember, and then I'm going to get really, really practical and ask you a really practical question about your life this morning, okay? Here's the big point for what we're talking about in the book of Proverbs today, and hopefully I'm saying it in a way that you can understand it. You can write this down if you want, or just memorize it real quick. Hopefully you can. The more I can see, the wiser I'll be. So I'll always need people who can see more than me. All right, now I'm willing to live with the shame of having written and delivered something that sounds like it come from Dr. Seuss if you will never, ever, ever forget it. Deal? All right, listen, the more I can see, the wiser I'll be. So I will always, always, always need people who can see more than me. See, all of us have blind spots. All of us have blind spots. I tell you what my blind spots are, but I don't know what they are. They're blind spots. Right? I got lots of weaknesses, and I tell you guys about my weaknesses. You got weaknesses. I'm acquainted with a lot of my weaknesses. I got a lot. There are a lot to be acquainted with. But I don't know what my blind spots are because I can't see them. I don't know what blind spots are until they're not blind spots anymore, right? Neither do you. That's why Tiger Woods has to have a swing coach. That's why Nolan Ryan had to have a pitching coach. That's why your personal, individual pursuit of wisdom will not be enough for you to get from where you're at to where you're going, because you can't see everything. So when you've got a decision to make, or when there's an opportunity that you think you might need to seize, or when there's something in your life that's holding you back from God's best in your life, you have to have wise people in your life who can see what you can't see in case you need help to see it. We still together? All right, here's what I want to do. I want to give you something really, really practical to think about. And full disclosure, this came, my friend Ben Pilgreen is a pastor. He's a pastor in San Francisco, probably one of the finest pastors that you've never heard of in your life. And I was in this conversation with Ben and a group of other pastors. One of those moments in a conversation, maybe you've had these with your friends, where you're just having a casual conversation and somebody says something and everybody in the conversation goes, wait, what? And then everybody grabs a pen to write down the thing that the person said. And what Ben did for me and he did for us is he just kind of unpacked something, gave us a visual illustration, talking through how to do this in a way that I think will be helpful to you. So a lot of what I'm going to just tell you is what he told us. So full disclosure on that. Here's the idea. I want you to think about your whole life like it exists in a series of tables. Okay, so think about it this way. You got a family table, whatever that looks like. You got a business table. Whatever that looks like, maybe it's your whole business, maybe it's just the team that you're on at your business table, you got an office table, you got a neighborhood table, the people that are placed around you in your neighborhood, whether you hang out with them or not, you got a friend's table, you got an acquaintance table, you've got a table full of people that you're influencing, maybe some people that you're pouring your life into or mentoring. Your whole life happens around a series of tables, and all of those tables that I just named, they're important tables. You may be able to think of some others, but think about your whole life as happening around a series of table. But there's a table in our life that virtually none of us have ever thought about. And yet it might be the most crucial table for us to think about, because what happens at that table influences every other table in our life. Here's the question that I want you to ask yourself this morning. You ready? Who gets to sit at your wisdom table? Who gets to sit at your wisdom table? Now, why is this so crucial? Because of what we just read in Proverbs. The writers of Proverbs say that the people who sit at your wisdom table will have a direct impact on the decisions you make around every other table in your life. The paths that you choose in your career, the way that you navigate things in your family, the plans that you make for your business or for your education, or for your future relationships, the battles that you fight for the causes you believe in, the people in your life that you fight for, the people in your life that you fight with. If the writers of Proverbs are right, and they are, the people who sit at your wisdom table can have a direct impact on how things go at every other table in your life. So who gets to sit at your wisdom table? Now, I'm not talking about a formal meeting of people that you convene at a regular basis to sit around a table and talk for a specified amount of time about you. It's not what I'm talking about. We're talking metaphor here, okay? You may never schedule a meeting of your table. Your people who sit at your wisdom table may not know who each other are. They may not know each other's names. They may never get together at the same time in the same place. They might not even know each other, or they may not even know that they're sitting at your wisdom table. But you have to know who they are if you're going to navigate from the place that you are to the place that you're hoping to go and arrive there in the condition you're hoping to arrive, okay? Isn't it interesting when it comes to every other table in our life, and especially the people that sit at those tables, when it comes to your business and the board of directors of your business? Isn't it true when it comes to your HOA, comes to our church, when it comes to your kids' PTA or your fraternity or your sorority, how strategic we are and how zealous we are, how thoughtful we are about making sure that the right people sit in leadership in all of those places and the wrong people are kept out of leadership in all of those places? And we should, but most of us have never given a single thought to answering the question, who are the people sitting around the wisdom table of my life who are helping me make and navigate the most important decisions that I'm going to make as a person navigating real life in real time? Here's why that's such a huge deal. When it comes to your family table, you and I didn't get to choose who sit at our family table. We were stuck with the people at our biological family table. Unless you own your own business, and maybe even if you own your own business, you don't get to choose who sits at your office table. You don't get to choose, unless you own the neighborhood, who sits at your neighborhood table. But you and I have total and complete control over the people that we invite to sit at our wisdom table. So who gets to sit there for you? Now, notice, I'm not asking the question, who gets to be in your life? You got to have all kinds of different people in your life. You got to have unbelievers in your life. You got to have idiots in your life. Close to you. Remember last week we said, just make sure they're simple idiots, not foolish idiots. Foolish idiots will get you hurt. Simple idiots, you can work with that, right? Have some idiots in your life. You got to have family in your life, and you should. You got to have peers and friends and bosses and leaders in your life. The question isn't who gets to be in your life. The question is who gets to sit at your wisdom table. Listen, just because somebody sits at the table of your family of origin does not qualify them for a seat at your wisdom table. They may need to be a person that you respect, should be, a person that you honor, and in some cases even obey. But if they're not wise, don't let them determine the direction and the destination of your life. Same thing goes with bosses and leaders. There is no correlation between a leader or a boss of something and wisdom. The fact that somebody's a leader doesn't necessarily mean that they're wise. It may just mean that they're a good talker. It may just mean that they're a good schmoozer. They're good at playing the political game. It may just mean that they know how to strike fear in the hearts of all of the people around them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're wise. So they may be able to direct the course of your career or of your work or of your paycheck, but don't give them the steering wheel of your life just because they're in charge in one area. Are we together? All right, so who gets to sit at your wisdom table? Let me give you three criteria. We're going to go back to the book of Proverbs and see them. Three great, big, giant characteristics of people who make really good candidates. And then we're going to talk about some next steps for it, okay? So how do I identify these people in my life? Where do I start? Where do I look? Well, here's the first thing, and it's fundamental. First thing is this. Number one, they have to be wise. Before you invite somebody to sit at the wisdom table of your life, they got to be wise. Remember, wise doesn't mean smart. It doesn't mean strategic. It doesn't mean rich. It doesn't mean powerful. It doesn't mean old. A wise person is a person who is reorienting their life and their perspective around who God is and what he's like, which means a person who sits at your wisdom table needs to see God as the ultimate source of all wisdom. Doesn't mean that they're perfect. Doesn't mean that they have it all together, that they've made all right decisions, or that they're currently making right decisions. Doesn't mean that they're flawless. But if this person's going to be a source of wisdom for you, you sort of need to know who is the source of wisdom for them. And you got to be realistic A person who doesn't know God through the person of Jesus isn't going to be able to give you a God's eye perspective for navigating real life in real time. Remember Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So the person who doesn't start at the beginning of wisdom is not a good person to give it to you. They may give you good advice, may help you solve a problem. You may take their advice to your wisdom table and bounce it off of them and thank them for their advice. Just don't let them be the only voice or the primary voice or the deciding voice, because they're not starting in the same place and they don't ultimately have the same destination as you. All right, one other thing to remember. Remember, the fear of the Lord doesn't just mean that they talk about God. Fear of the Lord is different from just the acknowledgement of the Lord. And so just because a person talks about God, because a person goes to church, listen, just because a person posts Bible passages on Facebook doesn't mean that they fear the Lord. It just means that they acknowledge Him in some other ways. When you go to pick somebody to be at your wisdom table, make sure it's somebody who is in the process of reorienting their life around the person and the work of God. They've got to be wise. Again, that doesn't mean that they have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that they have to be flawless. It means their conviction, their commitment is to seek wisdom, to start in the right place with the awe and the respect of the Lord. Okay, that leads to the second thing, which is also really important. When it comes to who gets to sit at your wisdom table, make sure that wisdom shows up in their wake, not just in their words. Make sure wisdom shows up in their wake, not just in their words. Okay, when it comes to deciding who gets to sit at your wisdom table, you gotta have more than just someone who loves to share what you should do with your life, but doesn't have any plans to do it in theirs. Doesn't seem to ever get around to living out wisdom in theirs. You know those people? It's awfully hard to trust someone when they give you directions to a place that they've never gone and don't ever plan to go. You know the guy that loves to give you dating advice, as far as you know, has never had a girlfriend? You know the woman that loves to give you career advice, but she's been fired from her last four jobs? Make sure there's wisdom in their wake, not just in their words. That doesn't mean that they have to have experienced the exact same thing that you're experiencing, the same scenario, in the same way that you've experienced it. More than likely, they won't. That's not the idea at all. Look at, again, Proverbs 24, verse 6, or at least listen to it. I'll put it up on the screen. It says this, "For by wise counsel, you will wage," notice this, "your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety." You know what the writers of Proverbs are saying? Sort of by definition, your multitude of counselors likely won't have fought your battle. But if you got a multitude of them, and they've walked some wisdom roads in the past, they've fought some battles in their past, the chances are they're going to be able to triangulate on your battle and together help you find wisdom for the road that you're facing. That does mean that you're probably going to need some people at your wisdom table who are further ahead than you. College students, you got to have more people at your wisdom table than just your fraternity brothers, even if they're wise fraternity brothers. Because when it comes time to navigate the first year of marriage, career decisions, they're going to be awfully limited on what they can see. Moms of young kids, if the only people at your wisdom table for discerning parenting decision are mom bloggers who have kids the same exact age as yours, you don't have some people with wisdom in their wake, you're going to be awfully limited in the perspective that you can grab when it comes to making the decisions that you got to make. Okay, here's the danger. If you come to the table with a really stupid decision, and the only people that you've got gathered around the table with you are simple or foolish in the area that you need to make your decision, you can walk away from that table with a stupid decision that you all together believe is wise because all of you agree on it. You got to have some people that have wisdom in their wake as you're trying to figure out where to go and how to get to where you're going from the place that you find yourself now. And when it comes time to decide who gets to sit at my wisdom table, make sure you look beyond wise words to the wake a person leaves behind. Not in everything, but in general. Okay, last thing, when it comes to your wisdom table, make sure you find people who are willing to tell you the truth in love. When it comes to putting people at your wisdom table, make sure you find a person who is willing to tell you the truth in love. You don't need a person navigating the decisions of your life who will pat you on the back all the way off a cliff. Come on, I hope you have some people like that in your life. Everybody needs one or two people in their life that will look at them and lie to their face and tell them they're awesome when everybody else in the world knows they're not. I hope you got somebody like that in your life. Just don't give them the steering wheel of your life, because they won't tell you the truth. Listen, if you're not willing to tell me the truth, I don't need you at my wisdom table. Because I'm trying to navigate real life in real time, and I know I'm not that awesome in real life. If you can't see that, or if you won't say that to me, you don't get to participate in my decision making. Wisdom table will help me. I'll bring the decision to you and tell you what we've done so that you can tell us it's awesome. But you don't get to participate if you won't tell me the truth. The other side of that is true too, isn't it? I've got people in my life who are convinced that they're telling me the truth. In fact, they love to tell me the truth with a capital T. But I can't trust them because I don't believe that they're for me. They don't love me. They just like to talk at me. Listen to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You got to find people in your life and put them at your wisdom table who love you enough to tell you that the thing you want to do is not God's best for you. That's the idea here. That takes us to some next steps that some of us have to take today. Even just reading that verse, some of you realized this morning that there are people that we have uninvited from our wisdom table. But we uninvited them not because they weren't wise, but because they were. They were wise and they told us something that we didn't want to hear. We weren't seeking their counsel. We were seeking their affirmation. And they loved us too much to give it to us. And so we uninvited them from our wisdom table. And it wounded us. Suddenly, we're realizing that that wound was a faithful wound. And today there's somebody we need to call. Today there's somebody we need to send a text message to. Maybe there's somebody in the auditorium that we need to make our way to see before this day is over to tell them thank you for loving us enough to tell us what we needed, not just what we wanted. And to ask their forgiveness for cutting them out of our life. Who are the people that you've uninvited from your wisdom table for all the wrong reasons? Some of us realize we don't have enough people in our life to fill out a wisdom table. We just don't have that many wise people in our life. I mean, honestly, some of us need to get in a community group. Now, remember what we said, just because a person's in a community group doesn't mean they're wise. But you're going to find a disproportionately high number of people that are walking with wise people when you find yourself placed in a place like that. Okay, you're not guaranteed to catch a fish just because you fish in a lake. But you got a better chance than if you fish in a lot of other places. Seriously, there's no better time for you to be looking for a group than right now. We're going to start a series in a couple of weeks that's designed around helping people in small groups take a step. And if you need to take a step today to find a group, we'll spend the next couple of weeks helping you find the right fit for you. You can just go to the Next Step Center after the service is over. The people out there would love to help you begin the process of finding some people that you can watch their life, watch their wake, and discern whether or not they might be the kind of people who are great fits for your wisdom table. Because someday a decision's coming. Someday a battle's coming. Someday a plan is coming, and you're going to need people that you can have observed wisdom in their wake before you have to make the decision and count on them to be there. Some of you have those people. You know who they are. You've already got a wisdom table. You could fill it all out. And today, the step for you, you need to be those people for somebody else. It's time to step into a role as a community group leader, a host, for adults, for your neighbors, some of you for youth, for college students, or to be a leader who coaches leaders. Some of you need to step into children's ministry so that our youngest people at Doxology can begin to fill out their Doxology wisdom table. Just step for some of you. The last thing is this. As we're thinking through our wisdom table, I just want to ask you the question. Who's going to sit in the head chair? Who's sitting in the head chair now? Is it an empty seat? Is there another person that's sitting there? Is it you? Invitation of the Bible is that that's why Jesus came. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that he made all things. All things were made through him. He holds all things together. He has lived what you're living. And he chose well, but he faced the destruction that you're facing. He took it on himself so that you wouldn't have to. He died on a cross and rose from the dead to give you forgiveness of sins, to come live inside of you and to empower you towards the life that he has for you. But he won't force himself on you. He's simply inviting you to trust him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that he is the power and the wisdom of God. Maybe that's the step for you today. Some of you need to trust him for the very first time. God has been an idea for a long time for you. He's been a concept for a long time for you. But you've never begun a personal relationship with him. You can do that today. You can do it right where you sit. I'm going to pray in just a second and give you an opportunity to take that step. Some of you trusted him a long time ago, but you got areas in your life that you know you've kept him away from. And today is the day to step away from the CEO role of your life, to step down as the CFO of your life, to just step out of the executive suite and to give him that place, to give him that chair, to give him that seat and say, Jesus, today, I'm trusting you. Take it all. I'm going to build my life on you because I believe that you see more than I can see. I believe that you know more than I can know. I believe that you have more power than I will ever be able to have. I believe that you're for me and you're with me and I'll trust you. Take it all. Remember what Proverbs chapter 4 says. The beginning of wisdom is this. Seek wisdom. It's worth everything you have. Can we pray? This is a moment for some of you to take that step. And it needs to begin just personally between you and God. The person that you've uninvited that you need to have a conversation with because they loved you enough to tell you the truth. And there's a step of reconciliation that you need to take today. Would you tell God that you're planning to take that step right now and ask him to give you the power and perspective to do it and the courage to do it before you chicken out? Would you do that right now? If you realize you don't have enough people in your wisdom table, not enough people in your life to fill up a wisdom table, and you need to find some wise counselors to come alongside of you as you navigate through life, would you ask him to show them to you and to give you the courage to take a next step today towards finding those people and putting them in your life? If you realize today that you've got those people around your life, but you need to be those people for somebody else, would you ask them to bring in mind a step you could take or a step you're committing to take and ask him for the courage and the power to take it? If you realize you've never started a relationship with him and you need more than just the power and the wisdom that you bring to the table, you need divine power and divine wisdom. Jesus has done everything that you need to give that to you. And in this moment, it's a simple, just in your own words of telling him, Jesus, I believe you came to this earth and lived the life I should have lived. That you died the death I deserve to die. But that you rose from the dead and you offer me your life and your power and your strength for every step as a gift. And this morning, January the 13th, I'm receiving that gift. Would you tell him that now? Father, there are some of us also who need to step down from the chairman's role at our wisdom table. We need a seat at the table, but we give the chairmanship to you. The area of the life that we've been living, that we've kept hidden, Lord, would you show it to us even now? Would you pop an idea in our mind, awaken something in our heart, put a desire in our soul? And Lord, would you give us in your power and your strength, with your resources, the strength to take it, whatever it is, this morning, this week, for good. We trust you, and we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Doxology Bible Church podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes. If you're ever in the Fort Worth area, we'd love to worship with you in person at one of our services. For more information on service times and location, visit doxology.church.